It is a blessing indeed to dwell in the house of the Lord and to be planted in the house of the Lord, to enjoy Him and to look forward to that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we're reading the Word of God today from Romans chapter 2. And this will be our last time to do this. It's like closing another chapter in your life. I'm sure we'll read Romans chapter 2 again, but we're reading it together here, just a part of it, for our final reading in our study through this epistle. Romans chapter 2 and verse 17 is where we begin our reading. Let us consider very carefully the words of Holy Scripture. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, quoting from Isaiah and from Ezekiel, that dreadful truth, causing the name of the Most High to be blasphemed among the pagan Gentile nations. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. He's certainly proven that the Hebrew people were breakers of the law. So of what use then is this rite of circumcision? Therefore, if the uncircumcision, that is the Gentiles, if there were such a thing as a Gentile keeping the righteousness of the law, shall not his circumcision be counted, uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, that is a Gentile, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? What use are ceremonies if they do not have an impact on the life to follow God, he is saying, to obey the Lord? The last two verses here. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. It's not external. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Amen. So closes this second chapter of this great epistle. And we trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who gave these burning words to the burdened heart of the apostle, as he doubtlessly desired the salvation of his own nation, may he today, the same Spirit, may speak to our hearts so that we will not only see the letter, But may we even understand the very spirit of what is being said for our good and for the glory of God, for Jesus' sake. We are considering today the last few verses, verse 25 through 29, this matter of the circumcision. And you know, there's so much said about this in the New Testament. There's quite a bit about it in the Old Testament. But the Hebrew people, as you think about the Hebrew people, it's not only amazing that God has preserved them, but how we see ourselves in that nation because they were so concerned about their religious rites, doing their ceremonies, and assuming that having done these, that all was well between them and God. And such a thing is the very attitude of so much of the church of our day, the professing church of our day, that if we simply do, you know the saying, just do it. And wasn't that the very attitude of so many when they came to Jesus? What must I do? I want to do something, make me feel good about my religion and myself, and then I know things will be good with me and God. We must get into this now. Drugstores are pharmacies, you know. They are filled with all kinds of remedies. Many of the remedies and medicines that are available right over the counter without a doctor's prescription. But you need to be very careful to read the directions and follow them closely to protect your own health. So many of the medicines are very dangerous themselves, and the side effects are often worse than the problem you use them to remedy. Well, some products are for external use only, such as remedies for acne and poison ivy. Others are to be taken internally, like NyQuil and Tylenol and Tums. But again, I say, read the directions until you know them and understand them very well. This is serious business because some medicines, I was reading on a medicine I had the other day that if it's taken internally to quickly call the poison control center, you better do it right away because if someone swallows the stuff, they're in great danger. In verses 25 to 29, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a very serious matter. It's not just physical, but it involves that. Circumcision is a surgical cutting away of some skin. It is an external cutting, but it symbolizes a deep internal operation and spiritual experience. So let us consider the matter externally or outwardly, first of all. Secondly, internally and spiritually. And then thirdly, finally, eternally. So first of all, externally or outwardly. Now, you know, God commanded Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 17, when he was still being called Abram, God commanded that all the males in his household be circumcised. This was such a serious matter to God. I mean, it wasn't a little thing. It was a big matter to God. God even called circumcision his covenant, Genesis 17 and verse 10. I mean, it's so important to God that there's something here of the essence of the covenant itself. When Israel was in Egypt for over 400 years, as they were slaves there, you know, for so long, this sign and seal of the covenant was neglected by many of them in their bondage. And it had to be restored before they entered the promised land. Now, even before they left Egypt, you remember the Lord told Moses to go down there to Egypt and deliver his people. And as Moses was beginning his journey going down to Egypt, God told Moses that he would slay Pharaoh's son.
And when the Lord told Moses that, he was teaching Moses some important lessons right then. Now, God's commands are essential. The second lesson, you cannot neglect to obey any of God's word and prosper. So thirdly, this is what happened. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 24, we are told there that God met Moses as he was headed to Egypt to do what God had told him to do. God met him, and the Bible says God would have killed Moses if Moses' son had not immediately, right there on the spot, been circumcised. Now, there are lessons that God was teaching Moses. If you are going to lead God's people back to God, then you'll have to obey Him very thoroughly yourself. God told Abraham in Genesis 17 and verse 14 that failure to obey in this matter of circumcision would result in being cut off from God's people permanently and would result in the loss of the final and eternal inheritance. It's pretty serious. So the Jewish rabbis caught on to that. They didn't miss this lesson. They were convinced of the importance and the essential nature of circumcision. So circumcision became so normal in Israel that the people actually thought that they were saved and they were all right with God simply because they'd been circumcised. The merely external came to be considered the guarantee of eternal salvation. And so their boast. They boasted in their name. They boasted in their law. And they boasted in their circumcision. And they looked on the rest of the world as hopeless because they had this chosen relationship with God as the chosen people. And they had their rights right. And that was it. Well, first of all, we have looked at circumcision as an external and outward matter. Secondly, let us consider it internally and spiritually. When God commands us to do something, there's that word again. When God commands us to do something, it is because under it or behind it lies a great spiritual truth. God demanded physical conformity to this command to circumcise, because an obedient heart would accept the word of God without question and obey. If the heart disobeyed in this outward action, it would never submit to God's authority anywhere else. That was obvious. The real meaning of circumcision is a spiritual meaning. It is the cutting off of having my own way and obeying God's way instead. It is casting off what is natural and submitting to the supernatural will of God. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says that by nature we have turned everyone to his own way. And God said, no, it's got to be my way. In Moses' farewell address to Israel, he told them that to enjoy the favor of God, they must return to God and obey His commandments. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. Here it is. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, that is your children, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. The command is given in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. And there comes a lesson about being stiff-necked. Have you ever seen a stiff-necked child? And you tell them to do something and it's not in conformity to their will, and they just stiffen up. Some of my grandchildren I call bowback babies because you're holding them and they bow their back because they don't want to be there anymore. They want to be down. Well, stiffening the neck. I got to go my way
It's my way.
That's all it's going to be. Well, you know, people are so naturally self-centered that we can't even hear God unless He circumcises our ears to hear Him. Notice what He says in Jeremiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. It's uncut. It's all stopped up with self. And they cannot hearken. Okay? That word hearken, I like to break it up into two syllables. Hear, and the Scottish word ken, to hear in order to know. They cannot hearken. They cannot hear to know. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. What is he saying? If you find no joy in reading and studying God's word, then you need to pray. Oh God, circumcise my ears and circumcise my heart so that I may hear and understand and obey your will. If the word of God does not penetrate both our ears and our hearts, we will never truly receive it. We will never conform our living to his word. This is why Jesus said at least 12 times in the New Testament, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We should pray, oh God, give me ears to hear. Don't let me be deaf to thee and the great spiritual verities. The Hebrew people were often, through their history, just like the professing church in the 21st century. They trusted in the forms of their religion and did not maintain, nor did they even desire to have contact with the living God. They were happy enough with their religion without God. They didn't want to have an encounter with the living God. They didn't want to really meet with Him. They were happy with their name. Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. They were resting in that. They were happy with their law. Verse 17 and verse 20, the form of knowledge and truth in the law. They were happy with their circumcision. Verse 25, circumcision, after all, was the great mark of the covenant. They thought with these things that they were saved, that they were therefore right with God. After all, they were a part of the chosen people of God. Do you see the parallels with the professing Christian church in the 21st century? You can easily rest in the fact that you attend public worship. You may even be a church member. You may have been baptized and you regularly take the Lord's Supper. You may even teach others or preach, as verse 21 says, thou therefore which teachest another. Does it really mean anything to you? You can be a teacher. You can be a preacher. You may adhere closely to the orthodox creeds and confessions of faith. You can do any or all of these things and still be lost. Without God, without hope, without Him in this world. What is Paul driving at? This is the last thing. He has shown that which is outward, and He has shown that which is spiritual and inwardly. He has shown in verses 25 to 27 that the circumcision of the flesh does not equal salvation. He has shown that the Jews are transgressors of their own law, and obviously the Gentiles have broken the law of God as well. Therefore, the whole world, both the pagan Gentiles and the religious Jews, all stand guilty before the Holy God. Chapter 3 of Romans in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. This is the very purpose of Paul going through in these early chapters of Romans, so much about the doctrine of human depravity. The last matter that the apostle deals with in this chapter is that which is eternal. Notice at the end of verse 29, he says, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The great eternal matter is having the approval of God, not having the approval of men. The Jews actually get their name from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. And the Lord ends the chapter talking about praise, whose praise is not of men, but of God. It's a very sad thing that the Jews were lovers of the praise of men. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we read that many of the Jews love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What a perversion of their name. Their name means praise, but instead of praising God and desiring His praise and His approval, you know, people think, well, I mean, that's enough. It's important what people think. Well, the praise of God is an eternal thing. The praise of God comes from His all-knowing, His all-seeing omniscience. He looks on the heart. He knows every motive. When He praises, it is not anything based on mere appearances. And such praise is worth waiting for. The praise of man is very empty and worthless. Men who are sinners commend and praise one another with very limited and clouded vision. If they truly had spiritual eyesight, they would see regarding themselves that there's nothing really worthy of praise. But how sad it is that so much of religious profession today is what I call look at me religion. Think about that. My actions, my words, am I endeavoring in my Christianity to cause people to look at Him? Or could I classify my religion as look at me religion that does not at all focus on Christ? After all, Christ, He is the very summation of Christianity. We should be pointing to Him. Notice verse 28 and 29. For He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and in the letter, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Here the great spiritual and eternal realities of conversion, of lasting change, of being regenerated, of having a new heart, a changed heart. Can you say today, I am really a Jew on the inside? I'm not a Jew ethnically, but I am a Jew spiritually. I'm a child of Abraham, Father Abraham, in Christ. I'm in Christ, and Christ, in His human nature, was a Jew. So we must conclude this morning. I want to first of all share with you a quote from the great Scottish theologian Thomas Chalmers. He said, He is not a Christian who is one merely outwardly by baptism. He is a Christian who has a new heart and a circumcised heart. The kingdom of God is not in word or in form only. It is in the power of God that will conform you into Christ's likeness. Martin Luther wrote, circumcision of the heart can only be accomplished by grace through the Holy Spirit. He went on to say, it is God's purpose in the closing of this second chapter to humble the proud by showing them their evil condition. Now, I love this. I love Luther's very pithy sayings. Listen to what Luther says. He says, the close of this second chapter is to humble the proud by showing them their evil condition. Listen to it right here. This is tremendous. Their own righteousness must be destroyed so that in deep humility they seek after Christ, confess their sin, accept His grace, and therein be saved. I love that. Their own righteousness must be destroyed. And he said, this is what Paul is doing in these opening chapters of Romans. He is destroying
all human supposed righteousness, so that in deep humility men would seek after Christ, confess their sin, accept His grace, and therein be saved. I love that. And the last few words of this chapter sum it up. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. You know, there are people, many people, who would rather have temporary popularity with men than eternal popularity with God. However, nothing but God's approval really counts. Nothing else is really important. If you have the smile of others and the frown of God, you will meet with a horrible judgment day. But if you have the smile of God upon you, it doesn't really matter now or in that great day what men or the world think of you. We started today thinking about medications, some to be used externally and others internally. We learned from our scripture text this morning that we must have an internal work that is so eternally mighty that it affects us even externally. But it is an internal work that God does in circumcising the heart. May God make this a reality in all our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, we bow before Thee and Thy holy word. And we confess that Thy word is truth. And we thank Thee for showing us Thyself, for showing us our sin, for bringing us face to face with these realities, for giving us no hope in any of our manufactured righteousness, but to accept only the mediatorial righteousness of Christ. We praise Thee for Thy goodness in giving us this light, and we pray that the light would shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And now, unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.